I had something on my heart about growth, about my own growth, that I thought, have I come to the place in my life where that's it in terms of, you know, development of my own heart? And I thought, I felt the Lord say to me that there's never a time, Owen, in your life that I'm not working. I'm working in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. And so press in. Just press in with that thought. And so Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Verse 7, he says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. There's something so valuable in my life, he's saying, I count everything else as less, knowing Jesus. That's going to continue on. I declare that here today. It's going to continue on in my own heart, right till I feel his arms around me, right till you feel his arms around you, holding you close and taking you into eternity. But the problem is, as I think, is that sometimes we see the value of a conversion, and rightfully so, to say we have 25 people saved or two gave their heart to the Lord. That is crucial. But there's something with it. It must go beyond the conversion experience. I am saved, but I'm also being saved. And it's an ongoing thing that will continue on, hopefully, my whole life. It was said of A.W. Tozer that he, in his own life, dismantled the mechanistic caricature of conversion, which states that everything is the initial decision. In other words, who got saved? Well, these people, that person, this person, that person. Yes, it's good, but did they grow? The point of getting saved is not just to go to heaven. The point of getting saved is that you might be transformed into the image of Jesus. And so he knew, and I'll just quote what he said. He knew that a crisis not followed by a process becomes an abscess. I'll read that again. He knew that a crisis not followed or followed up by a process becomes an abscess. And yet here's the kicker on this thing. There's no formula for conversion. There's no secret. There's no trickery where we can get people to yield their lives to the Lord. It just happens. And it's because we want them to go beyond. And I, in my own life, I want to go beyond the Scriptures. There is something beyond the Scriptures, and that is to Christ himself. It's just how it works. In other words, Jesus is the menu, or the Scripture, the Bible is the menu. Jesus is the meal. And I, in my own heart and life, I say, Lord, I want to know my Bible, but more so, more than knowing my Bible, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to be so consumed by him that everything else in my life is less, right till the day that when he receives me into his kingdom. Years ago, when we were at the Bible school at Esten, 100 years ago, long time ago, near the town of Esten, there was a Hutterite colony. You know, anybody know about the Hutterites? And they live communally, and they have giant combines, and they sometimes they would bring some students from their place and bring them to the Bible school. But usually we went there, and it's kind of funny, things would happen. They would maybe be a bit threatened by the Bible school kids. But either way, they would say, well, great, we're smarter than you. So they'd say about the Bible school again, we're smarter than you. They said, what do you mean? Well, let's have a contest. All right, let's name all the states of the United States. Name all of them. Well, of course, the Bible school kids, what? See, you don't know. And the kids, the Hutterite kids would rattle off all these things. Every one of the states they had memorized. And there'd be things like, what is the average weight of the American bald eagle? What? Who cares? But they knew more. They knew. See, there's so much you can know, and it doesn't have any impact if it doesn't to do it with Christ. He is an end in itself, and to know him, and to keep on knowing him, that he gets sweeter and better and stronger and all the things that need to happen. So in other words, be very careful if you give, or if I give off the sense that we've arrived, right? Because I know the Old Testament, I know the New Testament, I know this, I've heard every sermon on that. And after a while, you kind of think, yeah, I'm good. I know lots. And you could get into a debate, and that you see that all your life in these Christian circles that we travel in, and we see, to see how much we know. So conversion to Christ means only that my journey to knowing God has begun. It's not the arrival. It's just that it's begun. You put your hand up in a church service. I don't think we can assume that they might be saved, but we can't assume that. But it's the start of a journey. As they maybe came forward or knelt down or went to camp or something, you know, some setting that would help them to process this. That this process is a lifetime. Isn't that funny? Because Paul says that I might, in a little bit later there, what is it, in chapter 3, verse 10, that I might know him. Paul, the apostle Paul, you don't know Jesus? You don't know? Yes, I know. I want to know him more. That's my goal. I want to know him more. Wow. See, I know Jesus. You say, does Owen know the Lord? Yeah, he knows the Lord. But I want more. I'm dissatisfied with where I am because I want to embrace all there is about Jesus that I could say, to know him is the greatest thing in my whole life. Nothing even comes close. So if God has truly wrought a work in my heart, I will inevitably, he will draw me close to him in increasing measures. I think we can always worry if somebody claims to know the Lord but have not shown any progress whatsoever. I think we'd say, do you really know the Lord? And at what point did that come true for you? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, new creatures in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. And I think in the Greek, that is the old is gone, thank God for that, but the new has come and continues to come. Continues to come. It just keeps coming and coming. You have not exhausted it. Yes, you know the Lord. Yes, you've been baptized in the Spirit. Yes, you know all the right answers. Yes, you have your understanding of Christianese. But do you know Christ? And does he? And you are caught up in that wonderful, unbelievable process of coming to know him better. To me, it's absolutely thrilling that this is not. It just keeps going. If you let it, if you allow the Lord, Lord, that I would know you, that I would know you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you might want to read that. That's, just give me a moment here. Verse 18. Well, let's just go back. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Yes, indeed. Are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. You know, line upon line, you know, inside and inside. It just keeps going upward. We're being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This process, this growth that takes place as I behold. Now, what is my job? What is your job? Is to, from this point on, to keep beholding him. Ever, ever enthralled by him, saying, I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I thank you. So I think there are growth helps along the way that maybe enable us to capture more of our hearts for the Lord. The first one is to cultivate the ability to switch off surrounding distractions. Practice inward withdrawal, in other words. That one of the things I have to do is I must make a space to behold the Lord. I must take time to know Him. To know Him. There's no substitute for that. You have to carve it out. You have to knock it out. So to say, that is my moment where I can behold the Lord and cherish Him and come before Him and say, I love you. I love you. I'm so glad I know you. And if we don't do that, the world will not give you a chance to do it. You have to take, that's the one thing I must do. I must take that time and surrender. I don't think He requires, but just to behold, I've come before the Lord to start the day or to end the day or somewhere in between where you just had this moment and you said, God, I love you. You're the greatest thing that's happened in my life. I love you. Have you done this? So can we look at one another and say, yes, that's my heart's desire too, to know Him, to really know Him, not to know Him in the Pentecostal way or not to know Him in the Baptist way or not to know Him, to know him in the Christ way, that He's knowable. Well, I'll come back to that. So that's the first, to cultivate the ability to switch off the voices. There are so many voices, so many distractions. And you can make that, Lord, one of my goals is to make sure I take time to behold the loveliness of my Savior. So even if you have to sit alone in your car, that's quite all right. So there's bizarre places where people go and find a spot. It's amazing. I'm sure you have a little spot that's not too far maybe from your house or from your garage. So we sit alone in the car if you have to. For the purpose of keep trying to find a place so where I can withdraw near to Him. That's it again. Doesn't matter where it is. It can be in a bedroom. It can be in a bathroom. It can be in a bush. It can be anywhere where that's your moment. And you come and you behold the Lord and say, Lord, take me further than I've ever been before. Take me further. Take me further on in this thing. The whole dynamic of knowing Christ, how powerful, how wonderful. Secondly, take the long route home whenever you can. If somebody says, I'll just drop you off. No, I'm just a couple of blocks. I'm good. No, I'll give you a ride. No. Boy, those are good moments. I can't tell you how many times I've walked home from something or came back from the store or something, and I was going to take a ride or get a lift, and I said, no, I think I'll just. And that walk, just that time, doing what? Love you, Lord. I'm glad that there's no other voices here just now, just you and me. Thank you. Lord, I was really frustrated by this thing today. You know, and you just share your heart. Because you don't look for shortcuts. You look for opportunities that the Lord will reveal Himself to you in a deeper level. This is for all of us. Instead of, we get crowded with all the voices and all the interactions the crazy thing is, it's all good. Most of these things that distract are actually, they're in themselves, they're good, but they rob us. And so I must look for ways to take the long route wherever I can. And that's a valuable, valuable thing. Take the stairwell, not the elevator. Now, the only thing about the elevator is that you can, maybe it's just me who has embarrassed himself. I don't know why I was embarrassed, but the door closed, the last person got out, and so I just shut my eyes, and I was like this. I love you, Lord. This is a great moment. And as the elevator brought down, there was nobody else on but me, the door opened, but I hadn't realized that the door had opened, right? So I'm standing there. Oh, yeah, hello. It's a lunatic or something standing in the elevator. But I used that moment for 10 floors. It was an opportunity, again, to use it to get to know the Lord even in a better way. I think caring, if you can, you can now, or you might have another device that you can use to But to carry a New Testament or a psalm, and I know that's not for everybody anymore, but to have something you can just say, I'll just read a little verse. I've got 10 more minutes before my doctor's appointment. I think I'll just read a few verses about the Lord, about knowing him. By the way, he puts no pressure on you. He puts no demand. There's no wagging finger. He just says, do you want to get to know me better? Do you want to? If you do, let's do it. Let's get going. Let's go. Let's just do this. And I thought, wow, how wonderful. He's not shouting at you or angry at you. He just looks forward to that time. He said, Lord, here I am. And I'm glad for this magical moment that I have just to use it for your glory. The more we contemplate the Lord, the more we will become like him. That I don't think there's any other shortcut. See, I don't even a Bible class, I don't know if it really, it gives, again, information, and it's all good, and we all, of course, believe in teaching the Bible. But it's not, this is a little bit different. This is pressing in and just contemplating his love and who he is and how wonderful he is and what grace, what unutterable grace and mercy has come into my life and the kindness that has come in my life because of Jesus. It's all about Jesus, isn't it, really? Not about church, not about Valley Church, not about College and Cow. It's about Jesus, knowing this glorious Lord personally and in a substantial way. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, which I read to you, there is some things we can expect. If we are being transformed, if I am, see, I have a birth, maybe what birth is, I have a birthday coming up this month. Don't forget it. All right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding about that. You can forget it. No, I threw myself off. I have a birthday coming up. That's what it was. And it made me just think, I have a desire, what? To know Christ better. That's what I want to happen this year. I want to know Christ better. And I know that's for you and your birthday. Just knowing who Christ is. So what can we expect of that? Well, number one, we can be absolutely certain that the change will be certain, because that's what he promised to us. If we behold him, he said, which is the Spirit, as we behold him, we can be absolutely assured that he will change us. So the change will be certain. Number two, the likeness will be unmistakable. I will be more like my Lord, your Lord. You will. It's unmistakable. I heard somebody say about to another Christian, they says, he said, I don't know you very well, but I can see you have your father's eyes. And this person said, what? He said, I can see you have your father's eyes. You know my father? Yeah, your heavenly father. He said, there's something, I said, I can sense that there's a kind of a glow coming from you. This person was actually a bit embarrassed. He said, I can see Jesus in you. What a compliment. Wouldn't you like to go, by the end of today, somebody said to you, I see Jesus in you. I see his reflection. I see his love coming through you. Your gestures, you're Christ-like. I see the Lord. It's not, I knew you knew a lot about the Lord or you memorized the Bible. No, I see Jesus. You've been spending time with him. And like the veil, right? The process deepens because you've been beholding the Lord. So the likeness will be unmistakable. Thirdly, the process, though this is the funny part about it, the process will be gradual. There's something in me that wants, I would like to say, let's all line up and we'll be transformed here. And we'll lay hands on each other, and which is not nothing wrong with that in itself, but the zap never works. I've gone to millions of gatherings where, not millions maybe, but lots of gatherings, hundreds of gatherings over the years where we did certain things and thinking that might, but really, it can't. It's a slow process, and it's uphill, and it's bumpy. It involves sometimes some pain, sometimes some disappointment. Sometimes you just have to trust God. You say, I don't know what in the world's going on in my life. It's just everything's falling apart. Yes. And in many ways, and I'll talk about this more coming up here, but we must not avoid it, because that's the very thing that God will use to bring about the process that I will be more like the Lord. And I can fight it and say, it doesn't seem fair. Of course it doesn't seem fair. And God never intended it to seem fair. He intended it that we'd be broken because of it. And we would fling ourselves on him and say, Lord, you're the only reliable. Yes, he is. Yes, you are the only reliable one that I can trust for sure. But nevertheless, he can be trusted. But the process, see, the odd thing is, from that little town in Saskatchewan where I said yes to Christ, my sister said yes to Christ. From that point on, you would kind of thought, I must be the slowest learner in the whole world, because I'm still not quite getting it. I've been on this road, even in full-time ministry, for years and years and years. Say, did you get it aced yet? Did you graduate yet? No, not yet. I said, but I'm en route. I'm being transformed. And all I need to do is make some space and allow God to use life. That's how he uses it. It's not a course. It's not some Bible learning and we could put in the bulletin. I mean, there's some things that might be helpful, but really it's not that. It has to be you and Jesus colliding together, just, you know, kind of coming close, all the life going on. And as life goes on, you don't have to look for ways. I need to have some growth principles. No, just let life come. And all the things that you want to change in your life, he'd be glad to change them. He would be glad to change them. He waits for us to give him permission, I think, sometimes. So this gradual process, which is still going on, it started when I bowed my knee to Christ as a young teenager. It's carried on. Bible school was helpful, but it wasn't the whole answer, because I found out that at a Bible college that there's many people who have even blatant sin in their life and they're studying the Bible. I thought, how could that be? You're at a Bible college and there's sin galore. How can that be? And so that's not alone is not the answer. Now, it's not that it was a very powerful experience for me to be there, but my point I'm making is that that's not how you're transformed. You're transformed by a person. By Jesus. And Psalm 127, verse 4, I won't take time to read it all, but so that I may behold the glory of the Lord, come into his temple and behold him and say, thank you, Jesus. You are so delicious, so staggered. I'm staggered by your love and your care for me, and I want to grow, and I don't want to... Whatever God had for me that he wanted to do in this life, I want it to be that way. Are you here following me? I want it to be that way. I don't want to miss out anything that I was, because I was this or I was that, but just that I was beholding the Lord, and as a way of life, right, as a way of life, spending time with Jesus so that people, now the purpose is not so that people see us. Our purpose is they would see him. That's the thing, that they would see Jesus and would come to know him in that personal, life-changing way. So spiritual transformation is not something sudden, but it's something gradual. And it'll go on this year in my life, next year, and there will be things that come that hurt me, and there will be things that disappoint me. And there'll be happy things. There'll be a mixture of things. And God says, oh, and I'm just going to put this into your life because you gave me permission to. You said you want to be transformed. Now let me transform you. Don't be afraid. I have all my plans for you are plans for good. So don't be afraid. I've got good plans. How many know God's will and God's plans are good plans? They're not. Don't be afraid. There's not room for to be frightful. But I do know that what we need, and what will take, this will be part of our theme, is this, PBPWM. And I won't read all of it because it's too long. But what it is, please be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet. He's not. Please be patient with me. Because perhaps sometimes I won't appear, I won't be as responsive in a godly way as I wish I would have. Wish I wouldn't have said that. Wish I wouldn't have. You know, my point is that we're not there yet. We have to be very patient with one another. That's crucial. Because we're, you know, say, well, just again, please, God's not finished with me. Please be careful. Because I'm not quite done there. It's uphill, it's bumpy. Christ and myself and Christ and you walking. And he gives an invitation. Do you want to go on a journey? Do you want to go on the greatest journey of your life? That's the transformation of the inner man. You want to become like the Savior that you proclaim. Would you like to be like him? Yes. Good. Then we'll keep doing that. And why is it taken so long? I don't know why. I don't know why. But I know it does, and I know there's no shortcuts to it. And I know you can't have gain without some pain. But it's good. It's delicious. It's not a bad thing. It needed to be where I felt, you know, they'd hurt me and my pride. Have you had your pride? I said, Lord, why didn't you? You didn't look after me very well. I would have looked after me better than you looked after me. Why didn't you look after me better? He said, well, I just thought I'd use this in your life. By the way, Owen, I love you more than you'll ever know. Yeah. Well, so the process goes on. The journey together. Can you think of anything more exciting? Not the journey with the church, although we hope you stick around. The journey with Christ. That's the journey I'm talking about. And it's the best journey you'll ever be on. He says, come on. And do you remember that? There was a book. What was that book about climbing? Yes, that one. It was about this journey up and these various troubles. And her name was Much Afraid. And I remember we read that together. It was very powerful of this process of climbing this mountain, not in a legalistic way, but in an exciting way that the Lord wants to transform us, journeying together. So there are many rough edges. They have to go. You knew that, right? It's not that most of us are into blatant sin. I don't think we probably are. But what it is that there are attitudinal things and a little too much of you. A little too much of me, the rough edges, where I was quick to say something that I shouldn't have said, and where I was, it just wasn't a Christ-like response. And I found that I'd hurt somebody by my remark. And so why is all that about? Well, I can go and I can humble myself and I can say, listen, I'm really sorry, and will you forgive me? And of course, most people forgive you, but there's rough edges. That's one of the reasons why the journey keeps going on, keeps going on, keeps going on, keeps going on, because the process is still en route. It's still happening. And these rough edges on this diamond, I want it to finally end with a polishing and a sparkling. That's why he does those things, to grind it and process it so I become like his son. And so I want to be polished. I want to sparkle. And so when God wraps up this age, this end of the age, and maybe it's sooner than we think, and believers are changed into Christ's likeness, then I shall fully know. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. A vitamin C passage that we don't hear much about it other than weddings. Verse 9. Verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, But when the perfect comes, the perfect is going to come to your life. If perfect is going to come to your life and my life, when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. By the way, that's why the process is still going on. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly. Yeah, don't see it all yet. We see in a mirror dimly. But then, face to face. Face to face. This Lord that I talk about loving and this Lord that you talk about loving, you're going to stand before him face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. When the perfect comes. When the perfect comes. Wow. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 has, in verse 2, "Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared." The finished product, you don't know how it's going to be just yet. But we know, what do we know? We know that when he appears, we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. We shall be like him. And that's really what it's all about. The Lord decided, first he took a human race and then changed his mind about that because of sin. I don't know whether he changed his mind, but it's a different program. And then he took us, said, I'm going to take a group of people. They're going to be the body of Christ. And I'm going to shape them and mold them. And when I appear, they will be exactly like me. Can you think of anything more glorious than that? I can't think of anything. And so Paul says, he said, the perfect hasn't come yet. You're not changed completely because Christ hasn't come back. But the process has begun and good things come out of it. Philippians 3:10, that I might know him. Yeah, that's what I want to know him. I wrote down there was an old chorus that we used to sing. I mean, I'm not going to sing it. I'm not the president of the United States. I'm not going to break into song. But it goes like this. The greatest thing in all the world is knowing you. The greatest thing in all the world is loving you. The greatest thing in all the world is serving you. Do you remember that? Remember that song we used to sing? Does that not express our hearts? The greatest thing, loving you, knowing you, serving you. I am so utterly privileged to be a servant of Jesus and who he's working on. So when I blow it and I wasn't quite as sensitive as I should have been, you'll have to say, Lord, thank you. You're working in me too, and you're working in him. And it takes away the harshness, doesn't it? It takes away that you don't have to get even. Because God allowed it. Many things God allows, and he doesn't tell us why, what he's actually working on that day. He just puts the hammer in the chisel. And many times it's in the quarry at late at night, like Exodus tells us. There was not a sound of a hammer on the site. Everything was off site, and then it was brought in. All those pieces fit perfectly. It's amazing, actually, when you think about that. But you will find yourself, the Lord will be dragging you out to the rock quarry. And he chisels. You say, oh, is this necessary? Apparently. That you would be what? Lesser? No, you'd be a greater servant of the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And so, as I think of my life, and think of your life, I know it's not, the fact that I have accepted Jesus is wonderful. But folks, there's got to be a whole lot more than just accepting Jesus. There's this process that we are on, and it's just a great, great thing, a great thing. And I know that we can pray for one another. When somebody acts badly, you know how it is. Somebody can act badly. Maybe they not even maybe meant to. But I find myself saying, well, I'm not perfect either. And we've all blown it. And therefore, you can have patience for people because you're not there either. The perfect has not come. And maybe, well, enough said. Let's stand. Another thing I want you to do is just while you're standing, we're going to dismiss. It's warm. It's going to be warm in here. It's warmer, getting warmer all the time here, so we won't keep you long. Next week, we'll keep you longer. But here's the thing. I'd like you just in a moment just to close your eyes or just look beyond everybody and just stare at a spot on the ceiling and just tell Christ Jesus that for you, he is the pearl of great price. And just take a moment to enjoy him. Tell him that you love him and thank him for loving you. You may just want to raise your hands just gently. No one looking around. We're not giving an altar call. Just want to say thank you, Jesus. My Lord. Thank you. I love you. I love you. I love you, God. Lord, we make a confession together here. We want to know you. Like Paul, we want to know you. We thank you for this journey. And we yield ourselves to you this morning. As much as we know of ourselves, we yield to you. We love you. We love you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, if you would have said to me, Owen, give your heart to Jesus because you're really going to be miserable after that. You know, he'd say, well, maybe I won't accept him after all. Did you ever believe it would be this good? I never, as a young teenager, I never dreamed that it would be this good. The love. You know, somebody said, well, we could always leave. Yeah, where are you going to go? This is the best thing in the whole world. You will never be loved more, cared more, watched over more. He will watch over you. He will guide you. He will direct you. This is a wonderful thing. It's beyond words. I can't describe it. It's just so, I said, God, even coming over this morning, I said, I want to tell you, I'm so happy with the route that you've got me on. I'm not talking about, Lord, I'm not talking about the pastorate. I'm talking about life. I'm so glad I know you. And I want it, because I know you, I want to know you better. I want to know what you're, the deepest levels of your heart, Lord, as I tell you mine. So go as you go today, go rejoicing. That, and by the way, it gets, as we see our redemption drawing near, it gets better till the day when we all rejoice in the kingdom of God. When we see all the events happening, I thought, I wonder if maybe there will be events coming. And not that we should be afraid of, but just to say, yeah, sure, an uncertain age, isn't it? I'm glad I know the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you on the patio. Amen.